In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There are certain passages in each gospel that serves as a lens into the themes of that gospel. And such a passage in Matthew's gospel is his call by Jesus to be a disciple. The appointed lesson for this, our commemoration of Saint Matthew. As is typical of Matthew's careful choice of words, he gives us many clues into the purpose of his gospel, and therefore our place in that gospel as members of the kingdom of God. For in Matthew himself, tax collector and sinner, we see ourselves at table in the kingdom of God. The first clue Matthew gives us is the name that he calls himself when he retells this story of his being called by Jesus. Mark uses a different name. He calls him Levi, son of Alphaeus, and Luke simply says Levi, a name of the priestly tribe of the 12 patriarchs. Now, such a hallowed name would have been one that would have immediately recalled for the Jews not only the Levitical priesthood, but that liturgical rhythm that those priests would preside over in the temple in Jerusalem. But by calling himself Matthew instead of Levi, Matthew was choosing perhaps his second name, which means the gift of Yahweh. And it is the name Matthew that occurs in all four lists of the apostles in the Gospels. By choosing Matthew, the Levi of the 12 patriarchs has now become Matthew of the 12 disciples, whom Jesus promises will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And as the first evangelist, Matthew is indeed a great gift of Yahweh to the church. For in the name Matthew, he shows the Jews who receive his gospel how Jesus and the 12 disciples do what Israel and the 12 patriarchs could not do. In the very name Matthew, we see how the gospel of Jesus Christ fulfills the Old Testament. Curiously, in all the list of the 12 apostles, it is only in Matthew's gospel that Matthew's name is qualified by the simple statement, the tax collector. Now, as we all know, a tax collector would have been one who would have been ostracized in Jewish and Gentile society. And the reason is, at the time of Jesus in Jerusalem society, it was a major issue as to who was and who was not a Jew. And the one who determined this were the Pharisees. And they did it simply by bloodlines, by family, or by occupation. And of course, as we all know, tax collector was one of the worst of these despised trades that rendered one a sinner. Now, the whole purpose of deciding who was and who was not a Jew was to determine who could have table fellowship with the faithful Jews, like the Pharisees. And yet, even the Gentiles would have flinched at what Matthew did as a tax collector and a Jew. Even though they weren't concerned with the table fellowship issues, they saw Matthew as one who had turned his back on his own people to collect taxes for the Romans. That earliest church, composed of Jews who would have received Matthew's gospel, they would have seen themselves in Matthew, because in the eyes of their own people, they would have been considered despised sinners, even though now they had been called to be members of the new Israel. Even though Matthew was a despised sinner, even though he was chief of sinners in the eyes of many Jews, Jesus calls him anyway. He says to Matthew, "Follow me." And Matthew stood up and did just that. Matthew would soon find out by sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his teaching what the cost of following Jesus was all about. And more than once in Matthew's gospel, he records those hard words of Jesus that speak of the price of discipleship. "Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth?" says Jesus. "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. In this principle of reversal, Jesus tells us about the kingdom. And to be a disciple means to submit oneself to that principle of reversal. It means that one is now going to be at odds with the world around you, at odds with one's own people, at odds with one's, as Jesus goes on to say, father, mother, daughter, brother. What more perfect example of this principle of reversal than Levi, Matthew, Jew, tax collector, sinner, evangelist? Matthew does a very courageous thing in the presence of Jesus. He does what would be expected of him as a Jew. He engages in hospitality. He invites Jesus to his own home to share a meal. And Matthew did that even though he knew that would cause great offense to the Jews. He knew that he would cause that offense, and he did it anyway. Because he knew that a holy man like Jesus, a teacher, a rabbi, would not be caught dead in the presence of a tax collector like Matthew, not to mention in a tax collector's home around a table at a meal. For both pious Jews and tax collectors, the ultimate expression of hospitality, the ultimate expression of friendship and fellowship, was to break bread together. And that is why the Pharisees are so offended at what Jesus does. That's why they say to Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But what the Pharisees did not see, what they did not understand, that in Jesus' activity of eating with Matthew tax collector, he was announcing one of the themes of the incarnation. That the reason why Jesus, the Son of God, took flesh, became one of us, was expressed in this act of eating with Matthew. He showed us that he was here to bear our frailties, to suffer our pains, to die our death in that simple act. The Pharisees didn't understand it, but Matthew did. His entire gospel relates this theme of the incarnation. Even in this simple story of his call to be a disciple, we see the essence of the gospel and the essence of the kingdom. Because the reason for Jesus coming in the flesh was to reach out to sinners like Matthew, to reach out to sinners like you and me, and to teach us about the kingdom, to teach us about himself and what he came to do, and then to eat with us around a table at a meal. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Or as the angel Gabriel announces to Joseph at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, before Jesus is born, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Matthew's gospel tells the story of exactly that, how Jesus journeyed to Jerusalem to be lifted up on the cross and on the third day raised again. Matthew's gospel tells the story of how Jesus came not for the healthy but for the sick, for sinners like you and me, how he came to forgive us our sins and heal our broken hearts, to release us from captivity by taking on our fallenness for us. Jesus says to those gathered at the table, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And Matthew's gospel teaches both Pharisees and tax collectors alike what that means as it is now lived out in the life of Jesus himself. The name Jesus means salvation. And that salvation is now ours at this very moment. Whenever we gather around the Lord's table, as we will do tomorrow right here in this place, Jesus eats with sinners like Matthew, with sinners like us, as he has done with countless Christians throughout the ages. For as despised sinners, the holy, almighty God, the all-powerful King of the universe, gives us his humble flesh in humble food at a table he has prepared for us. Jesus came into the world to call sinners to repentance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.